Got your Bibles.
Well, it's good to see a good crowd tonight. Amen. It's raining bad, but you're out here. Amen. If you got your Bibles, turn to Daniel chapter number 6. Daniel chapter number 6. I'm excited to preach this tonight. I am. And I will tell you, next week, gear up, because we'll start into a lot of prophecy next week in Daniel chapter number 7. And every chapter, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, is full prophecy. And you'll find out why I am a pre-tribulation rapture and a pre-millennialist when we get through these next three or four chapters, especially chapter number 9. There are some folks out there that's trying to propagate a mid-trib. I heard the other day, now, Chad, a three-quarter trib. Now, and then I heard that the church is going to do all the way through the trib. I want you to know something. They may do that, but I'm going out at the rapture. I'm leaving before the trib. Amen. Yeah. That makes me want to shout. Daniel 6, are you there? Look at verse number 1. I'm going to read several verses, then bring a lesson. This is one of my favorite chapters in the book of Daniel. And we'll do our best with it. The Bible said it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And notice this. And over these three presidents or prime ministers, of whom Daniel was the first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. In other words, they were there to protect the king. Somebody help me. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and the princes, because an excellent spirit was in him. And the king fought to set him over the whole realm. Boy, that's a remarkable story. Isn't that remarkable? Y'all know where he came from. He came from Israel. He's one of the captives. By this time, he's been there over almost 70 years. Now notice what happened. Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. Now notice this. He was a man of high character. How many say amen there? But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Here's what we got. There ain't nothing wrong with him. He don't have no sin. He ain't got nothing wrong. So the only thing we could do is kind of attack him in the law of his God. Because we know this Daniel going to serve his God. I don't want to get ahead of myself. I'm so excited. He going to serve his God. Somebody help me here. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king. Conniving suckers. And said unto him, King Darius, live forever. Now they start petting the king's ego, Chad. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains, have consulted together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall find any, ask any petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast in a den of lions. Y'all still with me? Now, O king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not. Therefore, King Darius signed the writing and the decree. Now notice verse 10. I'll read a couple more verses, then do a little exegesis of these and we'll go on. Now when Daniel knew the writing was signed, he went into his house and his windows being open, he kept them open. In his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks unto his God as he did aforetime. These men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of these, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? And the king answered and said, the thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, with all those not. Then answered they and said before the king that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, but maketh his petition 3 times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on to deliver Daniel. And they labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. And you know the rest of the story. He's cast into the den of lions. I want to preach on this tonight. The man who kept the faith. Somebody help me preach right there. The man that kept the faith. Now, Joe, when we first heard of Daniel, you know how old he was? He's 16. 16 years old. Jeremy was 16 years old. And Daniel 1. You know what he said in Daniel 1? The Bible said he purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the king's meat nor drink. He started at 16. Now he's 86. We've seen him in chapter 1, purpose in his heart. Chapter 2, we've seen him give the vision of Nebuchadnezzar and that image of the head of gold and the breastplate and the legs and the feet. And chapter 4, we see him as a middle-aged man called upon to interpret another dream and told Nebuchadnezzar he's going to be like an animal until he gets right with God, gets a pride out. In chapter 5, he stood before Belshazzar. And y'all were here last week, and when he said the handwriting came upon the wall, you said, preacher, you really believe that? Yes, I believe that. And I also believe Daniel got cast into a den of lions. Someone said, well, why doesn't it say a lion's den? Because a lion's den could be unoccupied. But a den of lions is occupied. Amen. Wait a minute. Good preaching, preacher. Amen. Can I give you 4 things tonight? Let me ask you a question tonight about your Christian life. Are you keeping the faith? Are you someone that God can count on? Are you a person that says, hey, I'm keeping the faith. I'm living for God. I'm going to be faithful to the church. I'm going to be faithful in my giving. I'm going to be faithful in my prayers. I'm going to be faithful in witnessing. I'm going to be a good person. I'm going to love people. I'm going to be faithful. Let me give you 4 thoughts in our outline tonight. Number 1. I want you to notice Daniel's character. Daniel's character. In verses 1-3, we notice Daniel's position. Darius appointed 120 princes to rule over the kingdom. And then he picked 3 more guys to rule over them. And of those 3 guys, Daniel was number 1. He went from being a slave to being a prime minister. He was way up there. Somebody help me. Boy, can I give y'all something here? Everybody, you know what we're living in right now? We're living in an age of what I call self-promotion. Oh, it is. I see preachers doing it. I see people doing it all the time, promoting themselves. Come on now. I'm going to give you a quote of scripture out of the book of Psalms. The Bible said promotion belongeth unto the Lord. I want you to know you don't have to promote yourself. If you're sold out to God, God will promote you and bless you, and he'll help you in ways you've never seen before. That is, if you keep a good character. Daniel's position. Then in verses 4 through 9, Daniel's problem. Now, I want y'all to know something. I hate to paint this picture, Chad, but it's the truth. I'm going to tell the truth. You sought out for God. And by the way, whether you know this or not, and I don't think that of this crowd, I believe your real faith will be here tonight. But in the church of the living God, there is wheat and there are tares. And them tares call themselves Christians. And some of them I really wonder about. But I want you to know what will happen if you start getting blessed. He got blessed. The other boys got jealous. Come on now. I've seen this church prosper over the years. There's folks that say they're independent, fundamental, won't have a thing to do with us. You know why? They're stinking, rotten, jealous. We haven't left the King James, some of them have. We haven't left the preaching on the blood, some of them have. We haven't left the teaching of the two officers of the church, pastor and deacon, some of them have. But I want you to know something. As God promotes you, don't you be ignorant and think the devil hadn't planted somebody and they're jealous of you and they will try to harm you. That's good preaching. Hey, Jeff, that's a fact. And if you don't watch it, you'll get your eyes on them and get them off of the Lord. So Daniel's problem, he was faithful, but he had some people that were against him. Jesus made a statement. Can I read this statement of Jesus in Matthew? He said, "Think not that I have come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man variance against his father, and his daughter against his mother, and the daughter-in-law against the mother-in-law, and a man's foe shall be of the same household." Here's what happens. When you get saved, you may even get some opposition in your own family because of the call of Christ.
Amen, preacher.
Amen. I got some people in my family that love what I'm doing. But there's one or so that don't love what I'm doing. It's antagonistic to him. Won't talk to me. You say, what are you going to do if your family says goodbye? If your family doesn't want anything to do with you? If your friends don't want to have to do, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to keep some character. Am I preaching? Then number C, I want you to notice Daniel's purity in verses 3 through 5. Notice this. The Bible said that he had an excellent spirit. That word excellent means preeminent. Hey, Daniel was pure. How many agree with me? We're living in an ungodly, impure society. And I want you to know something. A lot of preachers won't want to preach what I'm going to preach right now, but I'm going to preach it anyhow. And I want to tell you what is one of the most ungodly things folks use. It's not ungodly, but the use of it's ungodly. And that's the internet and Facebook and chat rooms and pornography. Help me preach. Oh, I am telling it. See, Daniel didn't have much of a Facebook account, and he never had a chat room. Hello. And I might as well just say it to all of you. There ain't no use in you women or any of you men going to the opposite sex and chatting with them. I'll tell you one thing. If I do something like that, where is Margarita? It's the meanest woman in Putnam County right there. And she don't believe in divorce, but she does believe in murder. You say, you scared of her? I'm scared of her. You kidding me? I'm real scared of her. But I'm more scared of God. I want to be pure. I want to have character. Am I preaching? Amen. Because let me tell you something. You can start swerving off the road in this area of character, and be sure your sin will find you out. You will be caught. Nothing's going to be covered. God reveal everything. And somebody just said, well, hey, God doesn't know what I'm doing. He knows everything you're doing. Wait a minute. Don't y'all die on me. He said, please don't tell me he knows everything I'm doing. He knows it all. He knows what you was doing when you got up this morning. He knows what you're going to do this evening after you leave here. Number two, look at verse 10 and 11. I want you to notice. No, some boy, this is one of my favorite parts of this. You still with me, Allison? Okay. Daniel's choices. Verse 10 and 11. Now, look at it. Now, when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he knew it, Chad. He knew the writing was signed. When he knew the writing was signed, he went into his house. Listen to this. He didn't have to open his windows. His windows being open. Number one, he was assuring us that he's looking to God, and he wasn't worried about who was looking at him. Hey, you know, it'd be great in your Christian life if you look to God and not worry about people looking at you, because if you live with character, you don't have to worry about what they say. I wrote down 9 things and I put them on here, and I try not to preach every one of them because I'll be here to midnight trying to do that. But do you know, how many of y'all agree with me, life's a choice? Somebody help me. How many agree it's a choice? Do you agree with that? Life is a choice. You say, Preacher Smith, are you telling me I have a choice to live right or live wrong? You have a choice. Life is a choice. Now, don't turn me off here. Listen to me. He actually had 9 of them right within these 2 verses. Can I read them to you? Number one, he chose obedience to God over opportunities in this world. I want to tell you what I see. I see people choosing opportunities over God. Somebody help me preach. Choosing, man, let's go up the ladder. That opportunity, that's too good to be passed on. Listen to me. You go ahead for God instead of an opportunity. Because God will open doors for you. How many of y'all believe that? Number two, he chose faithfulness to God over favor of the king. Hey, by the way, if you read on this chapter, the king loved him. Wanted to find a way out. But he had to keep his word. So then he just let Daniel go to his God. How aren't you glad that God's able? Amen. Amen. He showed faithfulness to God over the favor of the king. You know, I would like to see some Christians decide, you know what? I'm going to be faithful to my God. And I'm not going to worry about everybody else patting me on the back. And I'm trying to find favor. But I want you to know something. You'll never please people. I've been preaching for a long time, 41 years. I done decided I ain't pleasing everybody. You ain't pleasing everybody. So why not just find favor of God instead of running after favor of men? By the way, how many of you still agree that God will send the right people in your life and you'll be blessed with people around you praying for you, and maybe there'll be some to despise you, but thank God that he'll be for you. Number three, let me hurry. He chose devotion to God over the decree of the king. King's decree said, you pray, you're going to the den of lions. You pray, you know what he said? I'm not listening to the king. He chose a faithful testimony over fleeting treasures. You know what I've seen? I've seen people sell out for the dollar. Let me go on. He chose commitment over compromise. He's 86 now. Still using the same Bible. I got called to preach when I was 22. Bill, you know what Bible we had, don't you? King James. I still got it. I still use it. Don't use any other. And when you come to our doctor's class, the first one is on the Bible. You'll find out why you ought to use that. I haven't compromised. I know people have. I used to fellowship with people that have. I can't even fellowship with them now. They got the ESV. Come on now. There's some other version. They done went to contemporary Calvinism. Not me. I just stay where I'm at. I am not a contemporary. I'm not in the contemporary movement. I'm not a Calvinist. I'm not straight away from the Bible. I still believe it's infallible, inerrant. I believe it's the work. I'm just not going to compromise. They're going to lay me in the ground. And when they do, they may say a lot of ugly stuff about it, but they won't say compromise. No. Hello. He chose faithfulness over freedom. Come on now. He got locked down. He got cast into a den of lions. He chose love over life. He loved God so much, he risked his life going into the den of lions. And he chose character over comfort. Hold up. Oh. Did y'all get that? He chose character over comfort. I'll tell you, you can be comfortable in the world if you let your standards down. Hello? I saw a liberal preacher the other day. He knows I know he's liberal. He knows I know. He knows I'm conservative. And we know that. And I spoke to him, said hi. And he had a couple people with me. Danny, I'm a lip reader. I saw him. That guy won't change for nothing. He's still old shoe. I saw him. He running me down. He thought he was running me down, but he actually was blessing me. You ought to thank God your pastor's not going to compromise. You ought to thank God I'm going to stay for the truth. Your kids, your grandkids can count on it. And we're raising up kids, preachers here that say and do the same thing their preacher does. Y'all all right? Number three, let's get through this. Daniel's choice. By the way, everyone in this room has a choice. Now look at the third thing. Look at verses 12 through 17. Now I want you to know, all that stuff I just done makes real good preaching. Right? Right? But hold on. It does make good preaching. But you better listen to this next point. Daniel's challenge. There's going to be a day you're going to stand for something.
And I'm going to tell you something's going to happen to you. I've had it happen to me. And it probably still happens to me, but I'm dead to it, don't even care anymore. You know what happened to him, Chad? Look at 12 through 15. Read it with me. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of God or a man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast in the den of lions? Then they go in verse 13, said this Daniel. Number one, he faced a personal accusation. Now, I want you to know something. There will be some people, because of your godliness and your character. And if they're ungodly and don't have any character, they're going to challenge your faith. Yes, sir. They'll make accusations about you that's not true. Oh, come on now. They'll say ugly stuff. And by the way, it's real easy to believe garbage. It's real easy to believe that junk. I believe we live in a gossip time and a talebearer time. I want to tell you what, I'm standing behind people that love God, and I ain't going to believe that stuff right off. Somebody say amen. I ain't doing it, Jeff. I've seen people make accusations. And that's what they done to him. And by the way, you said, well, Preacher Smith, and somebody make an accusation, does it hurt? Yes, it hurts. It's painful. But that's the challenge. The challenge is, are you going to rise up above it? Above the noise and the ungodliness and say, I'm living for God. I'm telling you, most preachers, they eat up with it. They ain't nothing but a gossip network. Oh, yes, you think I ain't preaching? Gossip networks instead of soul winning stations. Sean, you back there? Yeah, you are. I'm going to tell you something. That young lady, Sean, she went through a terrible thing this morning. There was a car wreck and hurricane. Y'all heard about the guy dying. She was on the scene first. Traumatic. She saw somebody. I prayed he's saved. But I want you to know something. We can't let accusations of people get our eyes off the ball, because there's a lost world that needs Jesus. Good preaching, Reverend. The fact is, Daniel did break the king's law. The fact is, he done it on purpose. I want you to know something. Romans 13 teaches us to obey the rulers of the land and their laws, but when their laws contradict God's law, we don't have to obey them. Number two, look at verse 16, 17. Number two, here's a challenge. He faced a powerful attack. Look at the verses, 16, 17. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually. The king said this. He will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid up on the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. What a powerful attack. I want to tell you something. Can I tell you words? Church has changed over the years. There's a lot of ugly people that says they love God. They ain't a bit in love with God. Used to be, oh, there's always people coming and going out of churches. That's just the nature of it. That's just the nature. And there's some churches you need to leave. But this ain't one of them. But I want to tell you something. People now that leave churches, instead of just going to another church and settling down, they spend their life trying to destroy the church they used to be in. spend their life in attacking you. And you think you're going to be beyond that? There's going to be some people, not just preachers get in on that. You're going to get in on that too. They'll spend their life to try to destroy you. They cast him into the den. The king kept his word. But the king said something. Somebody ought to raise your hand and shout. You know what the king said? Your God's able to deliver you. Whoa! Amen. Y'all still with me? Lastly, I'm done. Man, I like this. This is good stuff. I don't know if y'all's enjoying much as I am. Somebody said you ought to enjoy your own preaching. I am tonight. Daniel's conquest. Can I give y'all some? Will y'all do me a favor? Yeah, how many of you got a Bible with you tonight? Raise your hand. Do me a favor just before I do this last point. Everyone turn to Revelation. Hurry up. Turn to Revelation chapter 20. Just turn over. Hurry. How many's there? Say amen. Y'all there? Look at verse 10. You there? And the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and false prophet are. And they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Amen. Ladies and gentlemen, the devil's going to lose. And you're ultimately going to win. Amen. Now let me give you four last things. In verse 18 through 20, Darius and his fears. No doubt he was consumed with guilt. Because if you read that chapter, how many read it carefully with me? He liked Daniel. And he felt bad he made the decree, but he had to keep his word. Darius and his fears. He feared them lions might just get him. I want to tell you something. I won't lie to you. There's been some times I've been frightened in my life. But can I tell you, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of sound mind. Number two, look here. Daniel and his faith. Look at 21 and 20 through 23. Then Daniel, the king, here's what happened. Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God has sent his angel and shut the mouth of the lion's mouth. Look here. Gave that lion lock jaw. You all right?
Yeah, I'm good.
Gave him lock jaw.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
Amen.
Daniel said, hey, hold it. Don't worry about it. I'm good. If you're saved, you're sealed to the day of redemption. You're good.
Yes,
you're adopted into the family of God. You're good. God loves you. You're in good shape.
Praise God.
Now, I want you to notice this. I want to say this real. I'm going to try to do it gently. I've seen God do this. I didn't want God to do it, but I've seen God do this, what I'm about ready to preach. Verse 24, Daniel and his foes. See, the best thing you can do is not try to get revenge. So often if we're hurt, we want to hurt somebody else, right? But over in Hebrews, the Lord said, vengeance is mine. I'll repay. Look what happened, Daniel and his foes. I've seen some people that's attacked me. God has ripped them to shreds. And talk to other people. I've seen God rip them to shreds. Amen. Daniel and his foes. Look, y'all with me? Read, look at it. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions, them and their children and their wives, and the lions had mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Somebody ought to shout. I'm not wishing bad on nobody, but I want you to know, Brother Ray, I got a God that's up. He's my Savior. He's my elder brother. I'm an heir of God and joint heir with Jesus. He's going to take care of this old boy. Come what come may. Whoever attacks God, if you're in the right and you're living right, God will keep you protected and put them in the den they put you in. Amen. I seen one of my enemies the other day. He calls himself an enemy. I don't call him an enemy, but he says he's the enemy, so he's the enemy. I saw him the other day. He looked like somebody run over him with a Mack truck. He looked bad. I prayed for him after that. I don't want him to be bad. But you know what? You better hear this preacher out. God ain't going to put up with foolishness. And some of you been talked about, lied about. Hold it. Don't you say a word. Don't even try to say a word. Let God take your part. Oh, yeah. Just let God do it. I got to tell you a story. I talked about my elder brother, Jesus. I had a brother, Donald. He loved God. He's in heaven. I led him to Christ. But Donald, Jeff, he always took up for his little brother. I got in a lot of meanness when I was a boy. I know you look at me now and you say, that preacher never been in no meanness. But I worked out meanness. How many of y'all know where Orchard Manor is? You don't even want to be over unless you got some protection. And it's daylight. But I was over playing basketball one day, and this 17 and a half year old boy, I went up, a big clumsy 14-year-old, and I hit him with an elbow in the chin. And I didn't mean to, Joe, promise you I didn't. Son, I turned around and he busted my nose, split open. I went home, blood all over my red shirt. Or my white shirt, it was red. And my brother looked at me and said, what happened? I told him the guy's name. I said, what he done? He said, he's almost 18. When that boy turned 18, you know what my brother said? He said, my elder brother, he said, I'm going to fight your battle. He said, I want you to go back over Orchard Man. I said, I really don't want to do that, buddy. He said, go on over there. And he said, I want you to go up for a rebound. And he said, I want you on purpose, but clock him. Break his nose. I said, he'll kill me. He said, I got it. Man, I did it, Brother Jeff. I went up, got the rebound. I went, wham! That guy came after me, and guess what happened? My elder brother stood in, cleaned his clock. Man, I love that. But I want you to know something. That's a carnal story. But I'm going to give you a spiritual story. I'm an heir of God. I join there with Jesus. I'm sealed to the day of redemption. I am in his hand and he will protect me. Amen. Somebody ought to say amen. Then Daniel and his future. And God blessed him again. Now can I sum it up? I got 1 minute to sum all this up. I'm going to give it to you. What God does for you. How many of y'all agree with me that God gives us grace sufficient for every trial? How many of you agree with me that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord? How many agree with me that my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ? And how many of you agree and believe in Jeremiah 33:3? What does it say? Call unto me. And I will what? Answer thee and give thee what? Great and mighty things which thou knowest not. How many's ever done that? How many's that prayed to God in your deep trouble and found a God that's able? I look back at Brandon, you back there. I want to tell you I've been praying for you and your family. Me, I've been praying for you and Sister Hattie, I've been praying for you. You know, I believe God is able to take you through.
Yes, sir.
You know, there's some of you tonight, you really got a choice. Are you going to stay for God? Come on now. You got a choice. Am I going to stay for God and have character and let God take care of it? Or am I going to run and compromise and get scared and think that God can't handle it? Bow your head with me. How many of you feel some pressure in your Christian life? The devil's been after you, working hard again you. Even people been after you. Slip up your hand if you need a little prayer. Slip up high, yes. Say, preacher, the devil's been working on me. Yeah. I wonder if maybe you'll need to come and say, you know what? I'm going to purpose in my heart tonight. I'm going to let God have it. Stand with me. Our Father, maybe you need to pray. You come. Hope you got some help. Our Father, touch us. Time together. Thank you for this wonderful passage of Scripture. Thrilled us to preach it tonight. Help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you.
He's able. He's able.
Oh, can you sing it?
I know he's able. I know.
Hey,
my man. Lord,
you may be cast into a den of lions, but he's able.
He's able.
He is able.
Amen. I know he is able.
Amen.
I know my Lord is able.
How many of y'all believe he's able?
Carry me.
Amen. A little bit more, a little bit more. Amen. All right, let me dismiss. Thank God for you. Hope you got some help tonight. Wasn't that an encouraging passage? Man, you ought not to go home discouraged. You ought to go home encouraged. Because your God is able.